All right, let's just start out with our passage for this morning. I'm going to read the white, and you're going to read the... Is that the way you're going to read? Oh, okay, all right. Here we go. Now may the God of peace himself... And may your whole spirit, soul, and body... He who calls you is faithful. Okay. So, boy, my prayer's been answered already. Now, when you stop to think, can you back up that just for a second? I want to look at that one more time. Look at what it's saying. Now, may the God of peace himself sanctify, make you holy completely. Now, the thing I want us to understand is we're going to go through the scriptures. We already are there. That's what the Bible tells us. That we are. He's given that to us. Now he wants us to live it out. And this is the living it out part. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who will also do it. All right. 43 years ago, I attended a conference. Bill Gothard, maybe some of you in your long distance, I don't know if he's still going or not, I don't think so. But anyhow, I went to this concert in Seattle, Washington. It was just before I went to Bible college. And I remember seeing people around wearing a button. It was really a strange, indecipherable button. And it had on it PBPGINFWMY. And despite my asking around at the conference, I couldn't get it until they finally explained it. And I couldn't even remember. I went back and thought about that, and I couldn't remember what the initials were. But does anybody know what it stands for? No? Okay. Please be patient. God is not finished with me yet. Please be patient. God is not finished with me yet. That's, I looked at that and I thought, that's a strikingly biblical phrase. You and I are not finished yet, right? Thank God. All right, and God is not finished with us either. That's why we pray and we seek change in our life. And so there's two issues here that we're dealing with. And we are already declared holy, I mentioned that, and blameless, and yet we are to become what we already are. Are you following me? We become what we already are declared to be true. So first of all, here's the declaration. I want to read just two scriptures. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be, and it really isn't should be as in a might. There's no way to translate it the way the Greek is set up. It would be that we are. It's a part of a are or to be or whatever. So let me just say are. That we are holy and without blame before him in love. That's what he set up for us. That's what he did. And I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting with verse 11. But you were washed. Now, when it says words, past completed action, okay? You were washed by his word. You were sanctified. You were made holy. But you were justified. You were made blameless in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. So we know that we are holy and blameless before God. Now we just have to live like it, okay? We just have to live like it. And so in legal terms, God is the guarantor. Not us. He is the one who stands behind the promise. And if he stands behind that promise, who can stand against him? Like Romans 8 says. And in this case, our sanctification in this life is possible, according to Paul, because Paul uses the emphatic Greek construction to drive the point home. He says, God himself, the God of peace, now may the God of peace himself make you. Wow, those are strong words. Make you completely holy and preserved blameless. Now, what's interesting is in the original language that this is called the optative mood. It's only used maybe six times in the New Testament, very seldom. And we have preciseness, then we have what's called a subjunctive, and that's kind of the if and may or might. And then we have the optative, which is really considered may or might. Okay, it's special. And so he's saying, now, may, if everything works out in your life and you're committed and you're willing to do this, the God of peace make you completely holy and preserved blameless. And so maybe I could read this. Paul, and God's wish and desire is that you and I become completely holy and blameless in thought and action before he returns. Whew. Now, I don't know how you feel about that, but boy, that was a tough week this week. Just thinking about that. Here's the simple truth. We have to be willing to give him our life. Right? You know, when I give the salvation message, I always end it with that we surrender our life to you. And this is what Paul's saying. This is what God's saying. Surrender your life. It isn't just for salvation. It's for every day, every moment. Surrender your life. And here's the simple truth. When you surrender your life, only God can create the growth in you. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute. Exercise improves the body. Therapy may improve the soul. Friends, yeah, you noticed that. Yeah, that's an optative, may, okay? Friends may lift up your spirit. Good fortune may improve your circumstances, but only God can help you become holy and blameless in your lifestyle. Only God can do that in you. And God is the author and the source and the power of all spiritual progress. In fact, I love it because in Ephesians 1, I'm in a Bible study right now, and we just went over the end of Ephesians 1, and it says that he has given us the power to raise Jesus Christ from the dead. Well, if he can raise Jesus Christ to dead from that, he certainly can make us holy and blameless, right? And I think I finally came to the conclusion it's impossible to overstate this important truth. It's one time when I can exaggerate. And be okay with God on it. Because he wants you to be completely holy and blameless. And God is the author of all source and power, all spiritual progress. We just have to agree that we're going to work with him. Now, let me just hit a few things that may be in your head. First of all, you can't hide, right? I don't know what it is about us, but somehow we think, you know, when we're not being holy and blameless, we can kind of hide in a corner and be set apart away from God. And we can sin or we can do whatever we want. And then we come back and ask for forgiveness and all the things we do. And we battle sin. We battle against sin. We mentally crawl into that corner and we try to get better on our own. And I think it would be the statement that Jesus said to the Pharisees, you whitewashed hypocrites, right? Because we can clean up the outside pretty good, but where is it in our heart? So we make rules and commitments. I will never do that again, realizing this is all by grace. And after a while, we stand up and say, you know what? Look, Lord, I'm doing pretty well. That's the moment before you fall. Right? And anytime I get into that kind of mode of thinking, I hear the words of God come through my head, without me, you can do nothing. Nothing. In contrast to all of our feeble efforts and our moral betterment and self-improvement, Paul simply says, God himself will make you complete. completely holy and blameless. It starts with God. And if it doesn't start with Him, you need to put it in reverse. Because it isn't going to happen. It kind of goes under the old saying, you know, you do the same thing over and over, hoping for different results. That's what you do when you clean up your life. So I want to jump to Philippians 2:12 and 13. I want us to see the function of this. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out. Now, when he says work out, it's different than just working to do something. It's a result of working. In other words, we could say living out. And I'm going to put that in there so it makes more sense. Living out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will or wish or desire and to do, to operate for His good pleasure. So it might even say this, for God is the one operating in you both to desire and to operate on behalf of His good pleasure. It really means His good word, the word of God, okay? Now, that's a tough one for us to understand. You do it, but He does it. Okay, so I thought, okay, how can I explain this maybe in an illustration? And so I thought about the time when we took Jamie to Grace Bible College. She went to Grace Bible College, so we drove her up to Michigan, dropped her off, and we went up to Mackinac Island. Anybody know where Mackinac Island? Okay, yeah, one of our presidents even lived there for a while. And so we rented a tandem bicycle. And we rode around, it was eight miles, and one of the things that we realized is we were just natural together riding this bike, okay? And so it was so much fun that when we came home, Costco had a sale on a tandem bike, and we bought one. But here's the interesting thing that I found is it didn't take long for Debbie to instinctively follow my lead. It was the strangest thing because when I'd stop pedaling, she would stop pedaling. When I pedaled, she pedaled. And we got really good. In fact, we got so good at it that we hung another piece out there for the kids to ride in. And so we looked like a semi going down the trails to Denver and back, you know, because when I made a turn, I had to get into the grass and everything because it was hard. All right. And so we'd pedal and coast, and when it was a really tough hill or something like that and Deb couldn't do it, she would just take her feet off the pedal and put it on the frame instead of dragging me down, right? And so I just pedal up the hill and that kind of thing, and then she's back doing it again. And so we got really, really pretty good at it. And it was just, in fact, after thinking about that, I told Deb, we got to pull that thing back out. We haven't ridden it in a couple years, dust it off and get it going again. And she's like, yeah, let's do it, okay? So eventually, I bought a second tandem bicycle some friends of ours. Actually, they come to church here. And they had one, and so they couldn't ride it anymore. So I bought it for, I think it was $100 or something like that. So we had two. So we had some friends that we hung around with quite a bit, and I said, you know what, I've got two tandems, I'll put them on the back of the car and bring them over to your house because they had some good paths, and let's go riding on the tandems, okay? And they said, yeah, that'd be great. So I brought them over and got the, you know, I had to take off the front wheel because, boy, those things stick out on the car, right? So I had to, you know, and so we put them all together and had it ready to go, and so we started going down there, the bicycle paths, and when we did it, pretty soon I hear this, stop it! No, turn there! No, you pedal, me! And they're going on it, and Deb and I are just riding along, thinking, boy, isn't this fun? And they're beginning to yell at each other, and they don't even do that. And so finally, all the enjoyment was gone, and they said, can we just turn around and go back? And so I said, yeah, that's fine. And so they're going, finally, they just get off the bicycle, and they walk it for about a mile. And the fight continued and all that kind of thing, and we got back to the house, and they said, you know what, here's the interesting thing. They said, We did not know we had control issues till we got on that bike. Right? She says, man, do we have control issues. And she said, you know, the wife said, one of the amazing things is neither one of us really know who's in control, and we both want to be in control. And so here's the thing. You and Debbie should make every premarital counselee ride a tandem. Right? Well, isn't that true? And because they said, man, it really opened up some issues we both need to talk about together. Okay. Now, what's funny about that even more is it's the same thing that occurs in our spiritual life with God, right? I mean, you can't ride with God like that, right? You can't ride with anybody like that. And, you know, God says it doesn't work. Our performance is not in tandem with God if we're not totally sold out and working with Him. And we can try to control, we can try to clean up, we can try to do all these things, and those are wonderful. It just don't work. What works is surrendering your life to Jesus Christ and doing what He wants you to do and praying for His power in your life to make it happen. Everybody hear me on that? Spiritual growth is a tandem experience with God. Paul says in the fourth chapter, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should do. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, do. Work out your own salvation, do. For it is God who works in you, him. Now may the God of peace sanctify you, him. Tandem. God and you working together because you're open to His desires and His wisdom and His promptings and His pedaling and His steering, His stops and starts. You are to surrender to His will, period. Now, I don't know if I need to make it more clear. Okay. Everything in the Christian life is in tandem with God. You, him, and really more accurately, him, you, right? When Debbie and I rode our bike, she gave effort to move forward, but she didn't try to control and do it on her own. She worked hard, but stayed in tandem with me because I really had much more strength. God's up front, and we're in the second seat. And you remember, the second seat has stationary handlebars. Isn't that what God's asking of us? Do you understand why I got smacked pretty hard this week? The Bible is full of tandem growth. It is never for us alone. It doesn't work. You know, one of my favorite passages as we close is from Psalms 37, where God gives us the same tandem thinking. And I really would like this to burn into your soul this morning. It's a great passage. I memorized it, and I used to just repeat it and repeat it. Trust in the Lord. So we start out right? Trust in the Lord and do good. There it is, the tandem piece. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Now, all of you have heard that verse because you want a bunch of desires and you just want God to approve them, right? But if you delight in God, your desires are the same. Delight in yourself also in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. And then here's the clincher. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him. That's really the key, isn't it? And what? And me. 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 He. Right? And He shall bring it to pass. Now, Isn't that amazing? Do you guys find that a little interesting? Commit your way to the Lord, trust also Him, and He will bring it to pass, and He will bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Man, what a beautiful psalm. Commit your way to the Lord, and He, and He, and He. He will bring it to pass. So let me just ask you a closing question. Do you have an open mind and an open heart to commit yourself completely to Jesus Christ? Or are you still trying to steer the back seat? Man, it gets old, doesn't it? Get so old. And if you're willing to surrender to Him and commit yourself to Him, He will bring it to pass. Man, isn't that easier than making up rules for yourself? Isn't it easier than saying, you know what, I am going to not eat anymore. I'm going to cut down the volume. I'm going to do all this. And then, right? That's what happens when you make rules. Right? Do you want to walk in a way that's pleasing to God? Then let me give you just one word, tandem. Tandem. What would, just think for a minute, imagine what would happen if you went tandem. What would change in your life? If you get in tune with God and you look at His Word and tells Him, and you look at what He's telling you, and instead of immediately trying to operate out of it, begin to pray and ask God to perform that in your life. Let go of your rebellion, your self-made superiority, your bragging rights. You climb down off that monument that you built for yourself and fall flat on your face and surrender your life to God. What would change in your life? I'm going to let you answer that. Father, we just come this morning. Thank You, O Lord, for Your Word. And we thank You for Your power that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead. And You will perform that in us. You tell us that. May we have that surrendered, committed, open heart to let You do that. Lord, help us to stop working out our salvation without You being in tandem. Our heads are bowed. You may have come this morning. Maybe you don't have a relationship with God. Let me talk to you, and the rest of you can pray. The Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of God's standard, and that the wages of that sin is death, eternal death. But He doesn't stop there. He says, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, and then tells us how we can do that in Romans 10:9. He said, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. So my friend, if maybe today you haven't made that commitment, you haven't asked Him into your life even, I'm going to pray a little prayer, and you can repeat that prayer along with me, realizing you're going to ask Christ to come into your life, surrender your life to Him. And the prayer goes like this: Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I ask You to forgive me of my sin, come into my heart and life, and be the Lord, the boss of my life. I believe that You rose from the dead, just as that verse said, because if You rose from the dead for others, You rose from the dead for me too. So come into my life and save me today. And may I live for You. I surrender my life to You. While heads still being bowed, if you prayed that prayer and you meant it, will you raise your hand up and put it back down? Let God know you meant business, and let us pray for you this morning, anybody this morning. Father, we just thank You. As I look around, I know I see most everybody, and they know You as Lord and Savior. Lord, help us to operate in tandem with You. that it's all about you giving us the power to be who we already are. Sounds so funny, Lord, but that's what it is. That's what you've said. We thank you and we love you and we care for you and we give you the honor, glory, and the praise because you have been willing to work in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.